Hello and welcome. It's Thursday, May 28th, and this is Israel in 10, the Misgav Daily Brief. I'm Laura Sellier in Tel Aviv. The United States and Iran have traded fire overnight as talks to extend the ceasefire hang in the balance. And another IDF soldier has been killed following a Hezbollah drone attack near the border with Lebanon. Independent Israeli analyst Eyal Ofer joins me today. Our conversation is coming up in a moment, but first the headlines. The IRGC says it attacked a US airbase after Kuwait said it was forced to deploy air defenses against incoming missile and drone fire. The attack came in retaliation for overnight US airstrikes on southern Iran. Tehran continues to insist on the immediate release of all frozen Iranian assets. President Trump says that's not going to happen. And the US Treasury has just imposed fresh sanctions on the Iranian authority attempting to levy fees on ships in the Strait of Hormuz. Trump also threatened military action against longtime US ally Oman if it attempted to impose restrictions on shipping. A new report claims the US military will need at least 3 years to replenish key weapon systems that were heavily used during the war with Iran, including Tomahawk missiles, Patriot batteries and THAAD interceptors. According to the Center for Strategic and International Studies, the US still has sufficient stockpiles to continue the conflict with Iran, but may not be adequately equipped for a major campaign in the Asia-Pacific region. An IDF soldier has been killed and two reservists wounded in a deadly Hezbollah drone attack near the border with Lebanon. 20-year-old Sergeant Rotem Yanai was killed while running to a shelter during the attack on the Israeli side of the border. She is the 24th Israeli soldier to be killed since Hezbollah began attacking Israel in early March. Explosive-laden drones, which are notoriously difficult to detect and intercept, continue to pose a major challenge for the IDF. In response, the Israeli Air Force has begun striking Tyre, one of Lebanon's largest cities. Of the $17 billion pledged to help rebuild Gaza, not a single cent has yet reached President Trump's so-called Peace Council. The Financial Times reports growing frustration within the fund over Hamas's continued refusal to disarm. The council says the fund is only one of several reconstruction mechanisms and that the World Bank has not yet transferred any money because the rebuilding phase has still not officially begun. The British Museum has postponed a lecture on the Kingdoms of Israel and Judah because of security concerns. The talk was due to explore the history of ancient Israel through archaeology and artifacts as part of Jewish Culture Month. The museum said it had received information that large numbers of people intended to deliberately disrupt the event. Last month, the museum also faced controversy when it removed references to Palestine after some groups pointed out the term did not exist before the 5th century BCE. Before we get to today's conversation, a reminder that you can sponsor Israel in 10. Just drop us a line at misgavdailybrief@gmail.com. Now here's Eyal Ofer. Is the ceasefire about to unravel?
I don't think so. I think that both sides show that they really don't want to go back to hostilities. But this phase of negotiation can last for way more than the 60 days that they are now allocating. Trump is not letting those small hostilities stand in the way of what he eventually wants to achieve. What does he want to achieve and when? That's the big question mark. He has been sending conflicting messages all throughout, and that is hampering his position in the negotiation.
What do you think about his decision to throw the Abraham Accords into the mix at the last minute?
This is another ploy that I'm afraid is not going to work. Trying to go all the way to finally solve all the Middle East problem. While what we have seen, especially in the last few days, is actually the Gulf state, the Arab state, taking a step back from being completely on the side of the U.S. I think they have concluded that the U.S. cannot protect them, and they are trying to prevent Iran from causing them more damage. So I don't see them suddenly making a switch and becoming Israel's friend while they're actually trying to pacify Iran.
I mean, President Trump just threatened to bomb Oman, which is a long-term U.S. ally. So can you understand their concerns?
I think that what's happened there, last week there was a letter by the five JCC countries that called on Iran to open the Hormuz Strait. Now, there was one signature that was missing there, and this is Oman. So it seems that Oman has somehow trying to align itself with the IRGC demand to split the revenue that ships will have to the toll, whatever they want to call it, you know, environmental fee or any other kind of justification to pay Iran. And Iran suggested to split it with Oman, and it seems that Oman had liked the idea and didn't add its signature to the call to open Hormuz freely. So I think this is the reason why President Trump is now sending a shot across the bow to Oman. Don't align yourself with Iran too much.
I was surprised to see that you put the UAE in the same camp. You think their thinking has changed? Perhaps they feel Iran just can't be defeated?
We need really to see the UAE make up its mind. I understand the geography. They're close to Iran. I understand the risk to their desalination plant, to their power plants. But if the Iranian regime will stay in power, they are always under threat. You cannot pacify terrorism. So they really need to make up their mind if they want to participate in defeating Iran, or they want to try and live with the beast and be threatened all the time.
Let's talk about the North. Tragically, another IDF soldier has fallen. How does the situation with Iran affect the Northern Front?
What the world doesn't know is that the civilians in northern Israel are under constant bombardment. Nobody in the world media shows that. Many villages, towns, kibbutzim, have been receiving direct missiles from Lebanon, from the border, directly into their homes. Civilians have died before. It didn't happen in the last 2 months, but it happened before. Basically, all of those communities are being decimated. And now there is the new risk of the drones, which are just yesterday hit a school bus stop just minutes after children were there. There was another drone that was above a school searching for targets. People don't understand what it is to live in the northern part of Israel next to the Lebanese border and have a rocket every 50 minutes or drones that appear out of nowhere. The world media presented as if Israel is the aggressor here because they don't show the constant attack on Israeli civilian population by Hezbollah.
Do you think northern Israel can ever be made safe for civilians?
It's an excellent question because, you know, I remember 1978 when Kiryat Shmona was bombarded by rockets. At that time, it was the PLO, the attack on the school at Maalot in which 30 children were massacred. We know that Hezbollah have built all the infrastructure just along the border to do exactly what Hamas did in the south, but on steroids, because Hezbollah is a far more formidable army. The risk to Israeli north is immense. Israel cannot lose the northern part of Israel. Israel is very small. So while all those conspiracy theories over the net on the Greater Israel project, what Israel is actually trying to do is to preserve the communities that live in it on its northern frontier. If this place is not going to be saved, then Israel has a very big problem.
At the other end of the country, of course, there is Gaza. President Trump's plan for Gaza appears to have hit a wall. What is your outlook?
The wall that it hit is called reality. Gaza is one of the fastest growing demographically areas in the world. It's very, very small, but yet the world have somehow decided that they are going to pour resources for free for Gaza. They have been doing this for 25 years. And at that time, Gazan population, since Israel have left Gaza completely, up to the last inch, dismantled settlements, took even the dead out of their graves, and moved everything to the international border into Israel. At that time, Gaza was 1.3 million people. Today, it is nearly double that number in just 20 or 21 years. So this is the situation in Gaza, and the world continued to finance it to the tune of several billion dollars a year. And the world keeps saying, oh, if we will rebuild Gaza for them, then there will be peace. Well, that have not worked before Trump or after Trump. But the only thing that it does, it's fuel the resources that eventually Hamas uses in order to attack Israel. Some people obviously, will want to emigrate. Gaza is the only place in the world that people cannot emigrate from, not because of Israel. It is Egypt who have built a wall. The Egyptian army is actually there armed to prevent Gazans from leaving. Will everybody want to leave? I don't know, but it's definitely a pressure cooker that needs a way out.
That's it. That's your Israel in 10. Thanks for watching, and do subscribe using the link below. Just takes a few seconds. Goodbye.